we always need to have a testimony ready. In witnessing opportunities, even sharing your testimony is a tremendous thing. And that's what usually starts a person thinking before you lead them to the Lord. You usually give something about your life, some kind of testimony. And so tonight, a very practical message, I hope, teaching on how to develop a more powerful testimony presentation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Father, we just pray tonight that you would help us to see how we could be more effective as we give testimony to you. And Lord, if we want to give testimony about our salvation experience, or if we want to get testimony about our growing experiences, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage to be able to do that, to speak for you, but also, Lord, to lay it out in the best possible way that you would be honored and glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you tonight, how would you define a successful testimony presentation? I wonder what you would say. See, your concept of a good testimony will determine how much you go about in planning in telling your story. Success, of course, relates to how well you fulfill a particular function. The purpose of a basketball coach or a football coach is to go out and, first of all, to recruit the players and then bring those players in and win games. So we measure their success by their win-loss record. How many wins do they have versus how many losses have they occurred? Well, there are two purposes of a testimony. First is very simply to give God credit. Giving God the credit for coming to our rescue when we were helpless. That is the first part of a testimony, to give God the glory, give God the credit for coming to rescue us when we were in trouble, when we needed his help. A testimony's second purpose is to give others a concrete example of the power of God and his ability to change lives. We give our story as an example of how God can change the lives of other people. He has the power to do that. He has the ability to do that. So to successfully fulfill those two purposes, you have to be certain that you, number one, have Jesus come out the star. Have Jesus come out the star. We think, well, that's really easy. That should go without saying. But I've heard testimonies where Jesus has not always come out as a star. He's not the main focus of the testimony. And since a testimony is the story of how God came to our rescue when we were unable to help ourselves, it would seem obvious that Jesus should be the hero. He should come out to be the hero. Yet we have all heard, I'm sure, testimonies which really are a testimony to a person's own grit. How they just dug in there and they didn't give up and they had such great determination. You know, I can't convince you of what a clever and charming and good person I am and glorify Jesus Christ at the same time. So, you know, it's like John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. I'm giving my testimony. My testimony is not to promote myself. My testimony is to promote Jesus. Neither is a testimony a tribute to the church or to some person who has been helpful in our lives. Now, while it's good to describe how God used others to bring us his word or to witness to us, they should not be the leading characters. Okay, they should not be the leading characters. One such testimony boiled down to this: I was lost, but then I joined the church. No, that's not it. The testimony is how Jesus saved you. You can talk about how the church helped you, but still the focus of the testimony, the star must be Jesus. The church cannot save you. I can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Testimony is how we are at the end of our resources, our human resources, or we're at the end of our rope and we could not do for ourselves what needed to be done. Jesus came in and he did for ourselves what we could not do. So either Jesus is the hero of our testimony or the testimony gets graded a big fat zero. Okay? No points. Jesus has to come out the hero. He has to get glory in the testimony. Another key point, number two, would be to tell one testimony at a time. Tell one testimony at a time. Most anyone who has been a Christian for any time has more than one testimony. He has his salvation testimony, of course, or he isn't a Christian. So we have that testimony. However, we also have many testimonies about how God has helped us grow and how God has provided things for us and how he has led us along the way. And we have to be able to share that kind of testimony about how God helps us to grow. But again, he's got to come out the hero. But tell one testimony at a time. We might talk about how the importance of how God helped us become consistent in our devotional time. Or how God helped us have an unforgiving spirit. Or sometimes a person tries to tell all of his testimonies at once, and they go on for such a long time. It's a long, drawn-out occasion. A testimony should be more like a TV commercial, not a mini-series. It should be a short, to-the-point commercial, if you will, of what God has done for us. I'm sure we've all heard testimonies that have been dragged out. And you know what? You were very interested in that testimony when it began. But by the time that testimony was over, you'd lost interest. And we don't want to do that. So it's to the point. The third thing about a good testimony presentation is that it should hammer out a theme. It should hammer out a theme. Your testimony has a plot. Perhaps you are searching for something and you are looking for it in the wrong places. And God came along and God spoke to you, but you resisted. Finally, you were brought to a point of crisis in your life. And Jesus began to work changes in your life, and you found that the deeper needs of your heart were being met. What were you seeking? What were you so stubbornly resisting God for? These are the themes of a salvation testimony. One deacon told how he had been raised in an unchurched home, but which was honest and had the work ethic. He was told growing up that one always had to work and earn everything he had, that one should never expect to be given anything. And so he traced the theme of how he was brought to realize that salvation was a free gift from God. Growth testimonies have similar themes concerning how the Lord showed us our need for growth in a certain area and how maybe we even resisted that at a time. But God was persistent and God came in and we finally submitted to his will and he empowered us with his grace and we were able to change because of it. So an effective testimony traces such a theme through the experiences of your life. And number four, a good testimony presentation would have you tell the key stories. You know, there are certain things in our life, certain happenings that summarize whole periods of our lives. These stories summarize the struggles that we face and the troubles that we have. And as you prepare, think about the key event which pretty well sums up the whole point. How did you come to stop feeling self-sufficient? What was the key turning point for you? Specifically, how did you come to realize your need of Christ? Or what caused you to take spiritual matters seriously? Name the things that attracted you to Jesus Christ. How were you brought to that point of crisis? What was the thing that finally clinched it for you? Ask questions. Ask yourself questions so that you can hammer out a theme but also tell key stories. You know, people love stories. And the best stories are the stories about your own life and about the lives of your family. Those are really the best stories, the true to life stories, things that happened to you. That's where I look for first for illustrations, and if I can't find any there, if I can find a better one somewhere else, I'll go there and I'll use it. But you know, stories, people love to listen to stories. And if you just make your testimony a story about your life, the key events of your life, or the key situations, people will be interested in what you have to say. And then use thought-provoking sentences. Use thought-provoking sentences. And thinking through your life and preparing your testimony, develop specific sentences which sum up the main points of your story. And then fine-tune those sentences. Even in my sermons, I have sentences that I know I want to say. There are some things that I might skip over, but there are things there that I know I want to say, and I've chosen that wording very carefully for that sentence. Well, not everybody does it, but that's me. I choose it very carefully, and I want it to word in such a way that it almost like it's a picture for you, to help you be able to see it and cause you to think. That's what a good testimony does. It almost brings the person into your life. And then it causes them to just to stop and think and ponder, even after the testimony has been given, because the stories will stay with them. Cause them to think about what you had to say. These sentences will prove helpful, not only when you use them in presenting your testimony to a group, and you could be giving your testimony to a group, or you just could be sharing it one-on-one with somebody. But you will also use those sentences. You learn them. You'll use them in personal conversations. You know, in such times, you won't have time to tell your entire life story, nor can you say, hold a minute and let me think of a good response to that. So have a few sentences figured out in your head, a few ahead of time, so you can go to your tackle box, you can go to your brain and pull out the right lure that's needed for that time. The point isn't to have everything written out and memorized as far as a testimony, but rather to give your listeners a few handlers with which to get a better grip on what you are saying. Some examples might include, I used to feel like I was on my own, or I used to feel like I was my own God until the heart attack. Or growing up, I was always the kid who had cooties. Or my self-acceptance suffered a lot before I came to know Christ. Sentences like that. Sometimes people have trouble knowing how to conclude their testimony. Just like pastors sometimes have trouble concluding a sermon. In conclusion, they go on for another 20, 30 minutes. Sometimes people, they don't know how to end their testimony. Usually because we don't stop to think about how we're going to end it. We think about what we're going to say to get things going. What am I going to say when I get up there? Or what am I going to say if I meet this person? We've got that all figured out, but we never figure out ahead of time how we're going to end it, how we're going to stop it. It's kind of like, you know, whenever you watch people ride those wild horses, they hope they can stay on for, what is it, like 8 seconds or something like that? And I always thought, well, how do you get off one graciously? I mean, you don't want to just get thrown off. You don't want to get off at all. You just want to stay on there and hope that the horse passes out or something. But that's kind of the way it is when given a testimony, is we don't know how to land it gracefully. It's like we're on the wild horse and we don't know how to jump off. So here's one place where a good thought-provoking sentence could be a big help to you as a speaker, as well as a help to listeners to continue thinking about what you have said. And I remember one of the professors at North Central, I had him for class in homiletics, and he was telling us that in sermons, you should have that last little bit memorized. You should have that last little bit figured out, at least, and know what you're going to say as you conclude, as you wrap up your message. And I would say that's good, too. If you're going to give a testimony, you should know, I'm getting to the end of my testimony, something that I need to say, something that I want to say to end this with. And it might be a sentence that you memorize, but it'll be a sentence that will be thought-provoking. You will leave them with something to think about. That's why I like to use illustrations toward the end of my messages. Helps people remember the sermon, and if they don't remember the sermon, they remember the illustration. And then relate human emotion. Relate human emotion. No one has ever had your exact experience, but we all have tasted of the same basic emotions. Love, hate, fear, hurt, confusion, confidence, embarrassment. One mark of an effective testimony presentation is that it tells your unique story in such a way that others can relate to your feelings. When you say, "I was deeply saddened by the course of events," you've done it right. If you've explained your story, they come alongside you. They feel your sadness. They can relate to your emotion, your struggles, your victories. Relate your feelings. They can imagine how it must have been for you and identify with you. For example, a man whose wife came to the Lord before he did might tell how at first he felt threatened by his wife's new faith and feared that it would cause her and the children to lose respect for him. Share your feelings. Simply share your feelings. Share your emotions. And then the next point is don't assume. Don't assume. We know that a person ought to be a Christian. We know that a person ought to be a member of a good church. We know that a person ought to want to profess faith in Christ before others. However, sometimes people who are not raised in church don't have the foggiest idea what we're talking about. We use our terminology, we use our language, we think other people know, and they just don't know what it means. It's kind of like starting a story in the middle, and they're left to figure out the beginning. Have you ever watched a movie, and you came in, and you just saw the middle, or you saw the end? You didn't have no idea of what was going on in that movie. You had no idea what was taking place. So you have to explain how you came to realize what you ought to do. You might even share some initial misconceptions you have. When sharing a salvation testimony, weave into your present truths of the gospel as they naturally fit into your experience. You know, I got to thinking, salvation, it's a free gift? Lose the lingo, sometimes you need to, and describe what it means. Well, I got saved. They might not know what that means. Explain to them what you mean by salvation, how you got to this place in your life. Say something like, "So finally, on Friday night of the revival, I walked the aisle and was saved." That doesn't communicate enough information. Explain how what I heard the preacher say that night brought my previous thoughts about God into focus. I put my trust in Jesus Christ to forgive me and to change my life. The effect was so powerful that I didn't care who knew. I didn't care who saw me come and kneel at the altar and pray. As my first step of obedience, I was baptized in water. You know, key parts like this should be explained and should be put into the Christian shorthand with term and leave out terms like walk the aisle. You know, that's the term we used to use for somebody who got saved. They walked the aisle. Well, is that like walking the plank? Explain what you mean. Make it clear. Also, the distinction between your salvation experience and subsequent growth experiences, keep those separate. I've heard testimonies and found myself wondering, when was that person really saved? Because they combine a couple different testimonies. I wasn't sure if they got saved the first time or in the second time was just a time of growing, a time of growth, or if they came forward, didn't really get saved the first time and got saved the second. We don't need confusion. Tell your story in such a way that listeners without a church background will begin to consider, what's the answer? Instead of, what's he talking about? And then cut to the chase. The next tip. unless a date or a place is an interesting, important part of the story, you can leave some of those things out. Get to the point. Don't bore your listeners with extra details that do not move the plot forward. And then don't preach. Sermons and devotionals are good things, obviously. However, they are different from giving a testimony. Your testimony is a story about how God worked in your life. So tell what God has done for you, not what we should let him do in us, or not what your listeners should let him do, but tell them what God has done for you. You know, your story, if it's rightly told, will be challenging enough. Sometimes people recommend that we always include at least one scripture in our testimony. I would amend to specify passages that are part of your story. I mean, don't just throw in a Bible verse because you need to, but use the Bible verses as you're telling your story, as they relate to your life. I read about a great example where a man told about the time he fell asleep at the wheel, only to wake up under a billboard that said, "The wages of sin is death." He went on to tell how this scripture made him think about his spiritual condition, and then how God later used his knowledge of that verse, the first half of that verse, to show he was lost and he was a sinner. But then the man discovered the meaning of the second half of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then come across as in progress. Come across as you're still growing. God's still working on you. You're still in the process of becoming more Christ-like. People relate better to our weaknesses. They relate better to our struggles than to our successes. Celebrities might draw bigger crowds, but people often get more out of hearing an honest person with whom they have more in common. Humility and honesty, grace, a testimony. Now, I don't mean to talk about shameful details, but I do mean to show some humility and some grace. And when you're able to say, it's hard, but God is making a difference, they hear the reality of that, and they then can identify with that in their world, in the place where they live. They perceive that what you are now is within striking distance for them. They don't have to become perfect. But if God is using you and you're growing, well, maybe I can become like you. Whoa. They may not feel that way about a pro football player who makes a couple $1 million a year. But if they're like you, they can relate to you. And then putting enough prayer time and think time. God can and does put words into our mouth spontaneously. As a pastor, sometimes I'm asked questions I really don't know the answer to. And there's been more than once God has put an answer into my mind. And I've discovered some neat things flowing through my own lips. And I almost think that's pretty good. I should write it down in case I forget it. But I know that it came from the Holy Spirit. I know that it didn't come from me. I know that it came from the Holy Spirit. There's no way I could have thought of that myself. Give God the opportunity to be the divine editor of your life and your message. However, saying all that, it seems that God has done this most and used me most when I have spent the most time praying and meditating on what he would have me to say and what would be most helpful for my listeners to hear. Now, there's a couple ways of thoughts here, and I know that. Some people preach at the drop of a hat. They don't prepare. I prepare. I write down almost everything I'm going to say. Others don't do that. They don't use notes. I use notes. But I have found that God blesses my preparation time. And that's what just God does for me. And if you don't prepare about what you are going to say, then at least spend some time in prayer before you speak. Spend a lot of time in prayer. And I would give at least some thought to it. Think about it. Most people just don't get up and preach. They've at least thought. They have an idea of what they're going to preach on or speak on before they do it. And then improve on your presentation. Look for ways to better tell your story. Do people seem to be hearing what you're saying? And the things that people like about your testimony, then you make sure you put that in all the time. You keep it in there. If it seems to encourage them, if it's something they seem to relate to, make it a point to always include it. But eliminate those things which, upon reflection, were not really necessary. Smooth out the wording of the parts you had trouble explaining. Ask God to guide you. So let me give you a quick summary here. Effective communication and sharing your personal testimony takes place when a person who needs to hear it understands it, relates to it, and then continues to think about it. A testimony is for those who need it. It isn't for the purpose of entertaining a church audience. It has the purpose of helping that person who needs Christ or that fellow believer who needs to grow in a specific area to understand why and how that comes about. A testimony is a story that illustrates a point. And you may find different ways of nailing that point, that nail, home. But it has one specific point. A sermon has more than one point. I might have 3, 4, 5, 7 points sometimes. But when your testimony, you stay focused as one single point that you are trying to make and keep hammering that point home. It is about what God has done for you and what God has done in you. It is a personal story, so it has the power to help people see themselves and their own feelings in your experience. A testimony has hit its mark when a listener gets it and then finds himself considering his own relationship with God. In fact, I think that the preaching of the word backed up with testimony of how that word becomes effective in somebody's life is really the key to revival. I really believe that's the key to revival. You can hear the word of God preached and you can apply it to your life, and then you can stand up and you can give a testimony of how you applied that word of God to your life. Other people will be revived. And it'll encourage them to start acting upon the word of God, and then they'll have a testimony. And after that, the floodgates just open up. And you have testimony after testimony after testimony. As people put God's word to use, it becomes a living word. They become doers of the word and not hearers only. I really think that's the key to revival. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. We're going to come back in just a moment. I'm going to give you something that I would like you to write down, an outline for salvation testimony. Those of you in the ministry class, since it's going to be another month at least before we meet, I would like to have you begin working on a testimony. Either a testimony about your salvation, or a testimony about a process of growth in your life or something that God has done for you. And I'm going to give you the points that I want you to include in that testimony in just a minute. But you'll never know when you'll need that testimony. God will bring people across your path that need to hear your testimony. We just need to be prepared. The Bible tells us to be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks the reason of the hope that lies within us. Paul said we are supposed to be instant in season and out of season. If you were asked to give your testimony tonight, could you do it? See, God wants us to be able to do that. He wants us to always be ready to give our testimony. So it's something I would like to have you work on. You know, as we do our part, then God will give us opportunities. If we are just faithful in our preparation, God will give us opportunities. And so my challenge that's going forth to you tonight is to think about your testimony and be willing to give it. If the Lord would speak to your heart and say, I want you to share your testimony with so-and-so. Or I want you to stand up in church next time testimony service is, and I want you to share this. I want you to be able to do it in such a way that other people can relate to it and leave them thinking about their relationship with God in that area of testimony that you gave. If you would be willing, maybe not now, but if you would be willing after you prepare yourself to give a testimony either to a group or an individual, I'm not concerned about which, but the fact that you would be obedient to the Lord and testify, I wonder if you would raise your hand up to him as a sign of commitment. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll be willing to share my testimony. Amen. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you for these hands tonight. Lord, I know it's not always easy to talk to others. It's difficult to speak to groups. It's even hard to speak one-on-one. And yet, Lord, you said that we should be ready to do this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to prepare a powerful testimony presentation. Each one of us would have a powerful testimony that we could share with others. And Lord, as we think about this, I pray that you would give us some of your thoughts, some creative thoughts from you that would make our testimony convicting and interesting. Lord, I pray that you would remind us about stories and illustrations from our own life experience that would be both a blessing and a benefit to others. And then, Lord, help us to always give the glory to you, that you would always come out to be the star. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could all write this down tonight, I have just a few points tonight. This first one is an outline for a salvation testimony. If you're going to give a testimony of your salvation, just 4 points, 4 simple points to include. Number one, my life before coming to Christ. Now, be certain not to make this part sound like the good old days. But just briefly talk about your life before coming to Christ. Number two, how I realized I needed Christ. How I realized I needed Christ. What are the events that led up to that, that caused me to realize that I needed Jesus? Number three, how I received Christ. How I received Christ. And number four, the difference Christ is making in my life now. The difference Christ is making in my life now. And I think that's important because people need to see that things changed, that you changed. And that the Lord is working. And then this next outline is for a Christian growth update testimony. It's an outline for a Christian growth update testimony. Number one, the circumstances I have been facing and God has been using. the circumstances I have been facing and God has been using. What is it you're going through? Number two, what I needed to learn and how God spoke to me about it. What I needed to learn and how God spoke to me about it. See, God has been bringing these circumstances into my life. I've been facing these circumstances. God has been using these circumstances to teach me what I needed to learn. What I needed to learn and how God spoke to me about it. Number three, how I came to the point of submission to God. How I came to the point of submission to God. How I came to the point of yieldedness. I submitted my will to His. How I came to that point. And then number four, the difference God has been making in my life since. The difference God has been making in my life since. I would just love it if you would work up a testimony and share it with the rest of us using these guidelines. Let me know. Got something you'd like to share? We'll give you opportunity to do that. Tonight, know how everybody in this room got saved. Wouldn't you like to find out how? I would like to hear the story of how you got saved, how you came to know the Lord. See, I believe verse 4 is true. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. You never get tired of hearing how Jesus saved a sinner.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word.
Testimony of the Lord. Let's just make our testimony be as powerful as it could possibly be. That others would read our lives or hear our story from our own mouths. They would get to know the Savior, or they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of our testimony, what Jesus has done for us. Father, we just thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, we do thank you for what you have done. And Lord, that story of how Jesus came and died, was buried, and rose again from the grave on the third day according to the Scriptures, that is the greatest story ever told. And Lord, it is humbling for us to think that you have chosen us to spread that story. Lord, you've chosen us as your mouthpiece upon this earth. What an awesome task, what an awesome responsibility we have. But Lord, we thank you for it, and we ask that you would help us to be faithful to that commission. Lord, may we work on our testimonies, and may they become powerful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.